On April 14, 2011, the Ancient Philosophy Society held a book panel discussion on my book, Aristotle on the Nature of Truth. After Will McNeil, Drew Hyland, and John Leisiger gave commentaries and I responded, there was a question and answer period in which Frank Gonzalez posed a question about where my voice and Aristotle's voice diverge in my book. The following is the exchange that we had.
There are moments, and I would say key moments, the key moments in the text where your voice and Aristotle's voice diverge. And let me just quickly name two.
Okay.
One is which I already mentioned, and that is the unmoved mover.
Right.
Where you again want to read relation and potency into the unmoved mover, and where I think you also have to acknowledge that Aristotle himself insists on the exclusion of potency and relation from the unmoved mover. The other one has to do with the notion of justice. You want to speak of a justice between ourselves, and a justice is a relation between ourselves and things, and therefore truth as justice, whereas as you acknowledge at one point in the book, for Aristotle, justice is a relation between human beings, and that in extending justice to our relation to things, you are going beyond Aristotle. So those are key moments of tension. So I guess I have two questions. One, the first is just how do you understand that divergence? Is it you understanding Aristotle better than the others understood himself? Is it you taking one dimension of Aristotle, which is in conflict with another dimension that you're just leaving aside? And then what is that other dimension that you're leaving aside? So the first question is, how do you understand the divergence here? And the second question, which in a way is the more important one for me, is why do you in the book seem to as much as possible hide or suppress that tension or divergence? And in a way, this touches on an issue that has come up, that's been brought up, especially by Will and the last commentator as well, this emphasis on cooperation. You said an emphasis on agreement.
Yeah.
That is, that there is a... The focus is on the coincidence of what you want to say about truth and what Aristotle says about truth. And you seem to go out of your way to at most just grudgingly and passingly acknowledge the divergence. And so it gets this issue of truth as cooperation and whether there's too much of an emphasis here on cooperation. And I would say, and you spoke of hermeneutic generosity just now, which of course is all fine and well, but of course hermeneutic generosity is not incompatible with critique.
Right.
And if you want to model your reading of Aristotle on his own reading of his predecessors, of course there... Aristotle is very critical of his predecessors, so he takes from them, but he also sets himself apart. And that setting yourself apart, that auseinanderzetzung, I don't find in your relation to Aristotle, or at least you seem to want to minimize it. The second question is, why does it?
Okay, so my cheeky answer is that, you know, I did that too much in my first book, and you wrote a really strong review of it, and now I've overcompensated, now I got to go back. So let me take the first issue about the agreement and distinguishing myself from Aristotle. So I mean, you know, in a way, as John was giving his talk, I was thinking, you know, it's really death by a thousand agreements. It's kind of a reversal of Aristotle in the sense of everybody he talks to, he wants to say how much he disagrees. They did what they didn't get right, and I reverse that and say, look, what they did get right. I want to embrace that in some ways. Let's talk about where we do agree, and then let's talk about the disagreements, because I think that we can have a more candid discussion about our disagreements once we've established where we agree. So in some ways, I think maybe the answer is in part just very practical about how conversations can be most productive and most directed toward the question of justice and health and nourishing kinds of conversations. But I don't want to, I don't want to be Pollyanna about disagreement. I want to welcome disagreement. I want to, and I want to see it as potentially productive. I just think philosophers for too many generations have thought about, I'm going to distinguish myself, from all those others who got it wrong, for the history of, the world. And rather, I think it's more productive in a way to say, look at what they got right. And now, when they say cooperation, there's certain aspects of that word I want to retain. I'll use it, and I'll throw it out if John convinces me it's not doing what I want it to do. Although I think I can still defend that. Let me just say one thing about God, and then I want to hear more. you know, the thing about it, Drew, you're right in one way. I mean, but there was you pointed to the two hardest sentences as I wrote in that book. Nature is sincere. That was the only. There was a semicolon there after that. Nature is sincere. That was hard to write down. And then God is relationality. That was a very hard sentence to write. That was probably the shortest sentence in the book. And relationality is not God is relational. Okay, so I want to be clear that sort of the idea of God that I want to articulate is one in which all relations are possible because of this this principle of God that Aristotle, I think, articulates. And the way he articulates it is noesis, noeseos, noesis. And I do a lot to try to listen to the words themselves and the genitive of the noesis in the middle, and what a weird thing to do is repeat the same word three times, and maybe I am moving into the triadic if we really parse that out, that second, the thinking of thinking. I mean, maybe that third thing, noesis, is in part what you're pushing me to, John, with regard to person, the third. So let me just stop there.